Hi, I'm Dylan Bernstein of 360 Sports Blog.
And I'm Sammy Marco. It's also from 360 Sports Blog. So today we're going to be doing a little bit of, we're going to have, this podcast is going to be based on all the major sports events of this past week. And so basically we're a couple of teenage sports writers. And what else, Dylan?
We pretty much focus on writing about every sport. We write blogs, we tweet, pretty much anything. You can follow us, check our page out. We mainly focus in New York sports, but of course, as we're 360 sports, we want to focus on the whole globe.
That's right. And another very good aspect of our blog is that we focus a lot on, like, not really hardcore analysis, because we know that people are going to want to go to ESPN and the more reputable sources for that. But we're also talking about, like, more fun sports-related topics, such as, like, pop culture.
Autographs.
And stuff. We talk about autographs, fantasy, and also video games.
Yeah.
And then we also have a new feature called what we call Woe or No. So every week, we're going to post a very good, like, a sick play from the week or sick news, a video of that, and it's going to be the Woe of the Week. And we're going to post an awful, almost a not top play, like the butt fumble, as the No. And then we're going to post another video or sport event, and you're going to get to vote if it's a woe, which is yes, or no, like, no, that's self-explanatory.
All right, so we're going to begin here with football, and this was a very exciting week of Sunday football. And it was pretty big because of the Denver-Dallas game. It was record-breaking. Tony Romo threw for the most yards in Cowboys franchise history.
Yet he still managed to choke.
Yeah, he's a choke artist. Just get that in your head.
Yep.
He may be great for fantasy, but he is just a choke artist.
Guy, he managed to throw for 506 yards, I think it was, have an opportunity to clinch the game with about 2 minutes left, and what does he do? He throws a pick in Broncos territory. So they had a very easy score right there, and they didn't even have to score. They just had to end the game.
Yeah, Romo's been very good over the years, especially the last few, and this was a pretty much a breakout game with 5 touchdowns and a very good passer rating with 140, and you'd expect them to pull this one out as they had the ball with a few minutes left, and they pretty much should have taken it down, kicked a field goal, and won the game,
but they didn't. And then Peyton's been excellent. He's thrown 0 picks this year with 20 or 21 touchdowns. What was it?
I believe it's 20. And he did throw an interception last Sunday, but you know what? The guy's thrown 20 in a row. Yeah. He's pretty damn good.
It's great. And then this is a very interesting question. Is Romo elite? Now, I remember these happened here. This is how I think of it. The elite quarterbacks, the obvious ones, are Aaron Rodgers, who won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady won 3. Drew Brees won 1. And Peyton Manning won 1. So those are the obvious ones. Then after that, a lot of people, even though he's been struggling this year, would say Eli Manning, just because he won 2 Super Bowls. A bunch of people would say Ben Roethlisberger, too, even though he's also struggling this year. He has also 2 Super Bowls. And then people would say, possibly, Andrew Luck, Joe Flacco, and RG3. And
I would also look at Russell Wilson. And
well, no, I wouldn't say RG3 is elite, actually, but Wilson, possibly. He might just be on the cusp of elite. But
yeah.
Luck, he won some big bowls in college, and Flacco won a Super Bowl last year. So all those guys have had a history of winning.
Well, Wilson was pretty clutch in the postseason.
Oh, no, he was. That's not a knock against Wilson at all. Wilson's an outstanding quarterback. But I just think he's just, like, the closest thing to it. But I don't know if he's considered elite yet. But anyway, getting back to Romo. Romo has absolutely no history of winning. He's a good quarterback, just like Eli Manning before he won his Super Bowls. But he's not elite. And that's the same thing I'll keep saying. Same thing with Matt Ryan, except Matt Ryan has had much better statistics than Romo. So he's closer to that elite category than Romo is. But I don't think he's there either, just because they can't win.
Yeah, Romo has the stats, and that's pretty obvious. But the thing is, if you're not going to take the team to the playoffs, why even bother having him as your quarterback?
Exactly.
He's great. He can take you to an 11-5 record, but you may lose the first week of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd rather have Joe Flacco, who may not be the best statistic-wise, but when it comes down to it, he's going to throw touchdowns in the playoffs.
You're right. And so now another important thing that stood out that game was Julius Thomas, his excellence this year. With I was wondering, a lot of people have been saying that he's the fourth best tight end behind Jimmy Graham, Jordan Cameron, and Rob Gronkowski. Would you say that's true?
I wouldn't say that's true. Julius Thomas is a great talent. He's very big. He's one of those basketball-converted tight ends.
Yeah, like Jimmy Graham.
I'd consider Antonio Gates better than him. Tony Gonzalez.
You know, Antonio's having a real, real breakout year this year. Not breakout because he's one of the best all time, but like a reemergence. He and Phillip Rivers, like, they'd almost disappeared for a couple of years. Like, they used to be great back in, like, 09, 08, even into 2010, and they just disappeared. But this year, they're both just showing up, and they're playing great.
Yeah, and Julius Thomas, he's been great, but he also has one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the best, in Julius Thomas. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is just turning it up this year. I've never seen anything like this, and I'm.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Brett Favre's last year in Minnesota.
Yes, he was a monster that year.
Yeah, and it was late into his career. No one really expected much from him, and he had his best year of his career. And I think that's what Peyton's gonna do right now. Only difference is he was expected a little more from him than from Favre, but they both weren't expected to do with this. And
yeah.
And they both prove people wrong. That's what I like about them. Now to another NFC East team, the Giants. They've really crumbled at this 0-5 mark. What I will say, being a huge Giant fan, is that the passing game with Eli and Ruben Randle and Victor and Nix, and even a little bit Brandon Myers, hasn't been awful. Eli's thrown a bunch of picks, of course, but, I mean, you can't really completely credit that to him. You could credit that to the O-line being so bad that he just doesn't want to get sacked. But they haven't been bad, but the rest of the team's just been an embarrassment in my eyes.
Yeah, Eli's been pretty impressive so far, I think.
Yeah, I
agree. I mean, playing with a injured offensive line, he has no running game from David Wilson, who's been a huge disappointment. But him and his receivers have a very good connection the last couple of weeks. He's been
they
throwing
really have.
Nix and Cruz and Randle over the middle a few times.
Right, and then
they
Randle
really have a nice connection there.
Randle, everybody expected to break out because he was great at LSU. He was a second round pick, but no one expected it to come this year in his sophomore season. Everyone was expecting maybe next year, 2 years from now, but he's just been super this year.
Yeah, he was really good on Sunday. He really just tore up that Eagles secondary.
He really did, and it's just amazing. But how he does that with that awful offensive line, which I think is the worst I've ever seen, is just amazing. And another bad thing about that team is, I could go on and on forever, but the defense is awful. Their
That's
only good
horrendous.
Defensive players this year have been Amukamara, great this year, great. Shutting down Dez Demaryius and then limiting Steve Smith, Dwayne Bowe, and Deshaun was the only one that he really let up a big game to. And then Ryan Mundy, no one expected that one. I mean, you would expect me to say JPP, Justin Tuck, not Ryan Mundy. He's been excellent this year. Really has.
Yeah, Amukamara, out of college, he really impressed me. I wanted my Jets to draft him, honestly.
Yeah.
But thinking about it now, after the first couple of years, he hasn't been really good, but is now starting to break out as to the player where I saw him in the draft. And he's really been impressive so far.
Yeah, I mean, and also he's just, like, a very humble, he's, like, their quiet leader. He's almost, I feel like he's Antrell Rolls, little, like his student.
Cause yeah, he learned.
Learned to lead the team without being arrogant and obnoxious. And he's just playing, lets his game speak for itself, which I like about him.
He's also had a lot of less boneheaded plays like he has in the past. Penalties,
yeah.
Helmet to helmet, like,
exactly.
Stupid things.
And then the most important point about this Giants team is, should Tom Coughlin be fired? As a Giants fan, I want to thank Tom Coughlin for everything he's done for the organization, and I mean absolutely nothing against him. I like him as a person. I like him as a coach over the years, but just right now, I really think he's got to go. I mean,
yeah, I think he's gone 100% after this season. The Super Bowls, I don't really think should be accredited to him. But I think Eli really turns it up in the playoffs, because both of those seasons they weren't very good, and in the first Super Bowl was pretty much luck that David Tyree had gum on his helmet.
Yeah. Well, they're not in that situation without skill, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then what I think is they have so many options after this year. They could try and call Nick Saban. I don't know if he'll leave. He just said he doesn't want to, but it's a possibility. They can call Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. Bill Cowher, John Gruden. Bill Cowher's always said he wanted to coach the Giants. And then Bill O'Brien, the former Patriots assistant and now Penn State head coach. I think that the best moves would be O'Brien and Cowher, but all those guys are just excellent coaches. So I hope
I think they should go after Gruden. Gruden's quarterback knowledge compared to with Eli's quarterback knowledge, that offense could be dynamic. He would know how to use Wilson to his full ability.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And those guys all are great coaches, and just I really hope that the Giants listen. I really hope that they just go after one of them at least, because they're all great. Now we're on to our fantasy football minute. It's wrap it up. Okay, so the perfect lineup this week was Tony Romo, Pierre Thomas, Fred Jackson, T.Y. Hilton, Alshon Jeffrey, Julius Thomas, Mason Crosby, and Arizona D. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Romo was a monster this week, but of course wasn't clutch. And I think another huge performance, which I've seen coming for quite some time now, is Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Is really good. Okay, so Alshon Jeffrey was really good this week, and he will continue to be good this week because he has a good connection with Jay Cutler, and Brandon Marshall is always double covered.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a lot of big waiver wire pickups this week. You have Geno Smith at quarterback, played excellent against the Falcons last night. We have Andre Ellington and Zach Stacy at running back. Really, really great players. And then
Terrence Williams and
Ruben Randall.
Ruben Randall, yes.
Yeah, so then, but also going back to running back, why I was talking to you is because I know you really are a big fan in deep leagues of Kyrie Robinson.
Yes, Kyrie Robinson was really, really good the last few weeks as a downhill runner who is going to be the guy that's going to kill the clock for the Saints. They can't give it to Sproles. He's too small. Pierre Thomas isn't good enough. Mark Ingram is honestly the worst football player I've ever seen. So Kyrie Robinson is looking like that back, like the Chris Ivory.
About to say he's going to play the Chris Ivory role for the Saints. No. The 16 or 18 team league, he could be a really good quiet pickup for you. And then also at tight end, of course, you want to pick up Jeff Cumberland or maybe Shane McGrath of Kansas City. Looked really good against the Giants. Also looked very good against the Titans. Looks like Alex Smith going to dump it off to him whenever. And then Seattle kicker Steven Hauschka. Available in a bunch of leagues. Very, very good player. Second most kicker points this year. And then defense, of course. A lot of people who are searching the waiver wire for defense are looking for just this week. So someone who's doing that, I would go New York Jets. They look pretty good against the Falcons, and now they play the Steelers 0-5. Definitely, definitely pick up the Jets if you need a defense.
Yeah, the Jets' front line has been very impressive so far this season. Along with young linebacker Demario Davis has been impressive. Sheldon Richardson has been a beast inside. And Muhammad Wilkerson is just the anchor of that entire defense.
Muhammad Wilkerson's an excellent player. Really great. He was a very quiet draft pick when they selected him, but he ended up when he got a safety of Blaine Gabbert in the second game of his career. It's not saying much that it's Gabbert, but still, I would definitely really thought it was a great pick. Also, there's a big matchup Thursday night between the Bears and the Giants. Who you got?
I'll take the Bears because the Giants have been pretty bad. Although the Bears are on a losing streak, but they'll probably be angry and hungry for a victory.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Now the news that David Wilson is not playing Thursday. Yeah, I definitely, definitely take the Bears. And this matchup, Giants lose, I don't think it will happen, but it might be Tom Coughlin's swan song. Might be his last game.
Yeah, I have a bold prediction for this game.
What's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey combined for 250 yards and 3 touchdowns.
My bold prediction is Darrell Scott and Brandon Jacobs combined for less than 50 yards.
Well, if anything this season has indicated, that's very highly possible.
Yes, it is. Moving on to basketball now. A lot of teams did very good this offseason, and the Nets, the Rockets, Pelicans, and Pistons. Who do you think did the best of those teams?
I think the Pelicans did the best of these teams. Although I'm a Net fan, and they did have a very impressive offseason, the Pelicans really rebuilt their team. Over the last 2-3 years, they brought in Anthony Davis, first pick in the draft. They brought in Drew Holiday in an offseason trade. They brought in Tyreek Evans in an offseason trade.
Eric Gordon in an offseason trade.
Yeah, and Ryan Anderson.
What?
Ryan Anderson
they brought in. So let's go. They picked Ryan Anderson in an offseason trade. Eric Gordon offseason trade. Drew Holiday offseason trade. Tyreek Evans offseason trade. And they drafted Jeff Withey and Anthony Davis. Really, they're going to be very good this year. If they're not, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah, they'll be a playoff team this year.
Also, the Pistons, I think, did a great job this offseason. I also think the Cavs did, but particularly the Pistons. They re-signed Chauncey Billups, who they had about 5-6 years ago, who led them to a title. Great leader, also still a great player at this. Not as great as he used to be, but he's still a very good player. They drafted Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Peyton Siva. And then they have, of course, Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe. And they added Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith. I mean, that team is going to be really good. If it's not, I don't know what to think, but that's a great team.
I'd love to see what kind of a role bringing in Rasheed Wallace as a coach will put on Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond as their young players.
Look,
and I also am excited to see Brandon Jennings play with a good team where he doesn't have to keep on shooting the ball.
Right, absolutely. Look, the thing about Rasheed is he's going to make this team very fiery, honestly. They're going to have the most eyeball prediction. Pistons have the most ejections at the end of the season.
That's I totally agree with you.
Because they have a lot of very big personalities in Josh Smith and Andre Drummond. And then also, of course, they have Rasheed Wallace as their assistant coach. I mean, this team is just set up for ejection city. And that might be their downfall, though it might also be a good thing for them, and they might just have so much hunger to win. Derrick Rose's return is probably the biggest, most anticipated event of this season. Do you agree?
Yes, Derrick Rose is going to be a superstar this year.
He really is.
He added 5 inches to his vertical. I saw him in the offseason do dunks, reverses. He's got his explosiveness. He's probably better after watching the game for a while and studying film while he couldn't play.
But the thing is, the game's changed while he was gone. I mean, I know people say it as a joke sometimes when they say, like, in memes and stuff, saying, last time Derrick Rose played, Dirk Nowitzki was the reigning champion, LeBron James had 0 titles, Anthony Davis was still in college, and Dwight Howard was on the Magic. Like, those are the little things, but I honestly think that the game has changed over those year and a half, 2 years that he's been out, and he might just have to readjust. It might take him a couple weeks or so to get back to the performance level that he was at, but I don't think that's going to happen, but it's very possible.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think by the end of the playoffs, that he's going to be full shape. It's going to be him, Joakim Noah, Luol Deng, Jimmy Butler, and they're just going to have a really good team.
The only
possibly
thing is,
to win the championship.
Did he ever play with Jimmy Butler?
I don't think so. Jimmy Butler wasn't a rookie this year, but I think Jimmy Butler barely played in his rookie year.
Yeah, and I don't think he probably didn't play with the front line with Rose, so.
Those two players are going to be extremely good together, as they Jimmy are. Butler's fast, explosive, as long as Rose in the break.
Yeah, definitely. And then, what about the rookies? Oladipo, I think, is going to win Rookie of the Year. And then we had CJ McCollum broke his foot. I think this is going to be a disappointing rookie class.
I think it's filled with a lot of specialty players and projects. Like, one of the projects I think could really turn out well is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I was just about to say that.
How do you pronounce his name?
I was just about to say that.
Huge, a point guard. He's fast. Right. He's strong. He's athletic. He's long arms. He's, I don't know how good he'll be this year, next year, a few years. But if he waits it out in the NBA, boy, I think he could be a talent.
Oh, he definitely can. And I wrote an article about this just before the draft. You can check it out at 360sportsblog.com. I wrote about unheralded prospects that I think are going to like have very big careers. I think Ryan Kelly, I am a Duke fan, and I don't mean to sound biased, but I think Ryan Kelly in the Lakers system is going to perform very well. Kobe's been known to play well with stretch fours, and Ryan Kelly is as good as they come at that. And he's also a very good defender, although people used to criticize that about him at Duke. The thing about his defensive game is he's not a good defensive rebounder, but at playing on his man, he's very good.
You have to love Kelly's ability to take charges, and then the way he excites his team up, like in the Duke-Miami game last season, brought them back to life.
He did, and a couple other players that I wrote about were Mike Kabongo, who's now in Miami.
It's
going
to be interesting in that
team.
Yeah,
Mike Muscala, the former Bucknell /center.
Very good in March Madness last season.
Yeah, he's going to be very good, in my opinion. And then I think Anthony Bennett's going to be good, too, and trying to think who else I like this year.
I like Dennis Schroeder.
I like him, but I don't know if he'll be so good. I think
he's athletic. He can shoot.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm a Suns fan, and I was very, very disappointed with the Alex Len pick. But they, I think, made up for it in my eyes slightly because Archie Goodwin, I thought was a very good pick at the end of the first round.
Yeah, he was pretty decent in Kentucky. I mean, he wasn't the superstar there, but he was a good player.
Yeah, and Eric Bledsoe also they have as their point guard / shooting guard, the Suns. I don't know how that Dragic Bledsoe situation is going to work out. But Bledsoe and Goodwin have very similar games. So Bledsoe had a very slow start to his career and then turned it on last season, and he might be able to mentor Archie Goodwin in that respect.
Yeah, and they're both members of the Kentucky team. They could talk about practices and what it was like there. And they could have an easy bond to if Goran Dragic falls down, then Goodwin may be able to play a big role in a pretty much all Kentucky backcourt.
Over under, John Calipari goes to 3.5 games next year. Suns games.
I'd say over. I think he likes the Arizona weather, and it's a long season.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I know he went to a bunch of Chicago Bulls and Washington Wizards games over the last couple of years, so it'll be interesting to see that as a little like side note. But there are a lot of good prospects this year, despite what many people are saying. There's not the star power, but it's very solid throughout.
It's good for depth. Like Reggie Bullock could be a very good 3-point shooter off the bench, even though I hate his guts.
Yeah, same with me. Both Duke fans here. And now lastly for the NBA, what do we want to talk about? The Summer League, of course. How important do you think this is?
I don't think it's important at all. I mean, we've seen some good players like Andre Drummond and Damian Lillard be really good in the Summer League.
That's the point I was just about to bring up. It's not important at all in discovering a team's success, but in discovering a rookie or second-year player, I think it could be very important. I mean, Damian Lillard out of Weber State, the scouts might have expected it, but no casual fans were expecting that kind of year from him, unless they watched the Summer League. So I think it might be interesting to see how it pans out, because the Suns were really good in the Summer League, and I do not think by any stretch of the imagination that they're going to be as good at all during the regular season, but some of the guys that showed up throughout, like Malcolm Lee, the young guys, I think they might play a little. They might play better than you would expect.
Yeah, the Summer League, all its purpose is to try and see what they can get out of old veterans, they can see from young rookies and undrafted free agents. And maybe you have a roster spot there if you do really well, but if you play well in the Summer League, it does not correlate to success, as Thomas Robinson showed us in previous years.
Thomas Robinson's
terrible in his rookie year, but really, really good in the Summer League 2 seasons ago.
Yeah. Okay, now on to baseball. We're in a very important time of the year right now for baseball fans. The NLDS, one could argue, is the best time of the season. because you're getting accustomed to this excuse me, playoff style of ball where take no prisoners attitude from all teams and you're just like anticipating the World Series. I love the NLDS personally. And the ALDS, yeah. Sorry.
I think these teams in this year's playoffs have been more exciting than I've seen in many years. Like, the Pirates are a very interesting team. The Cardinals are an interesting team. The Athletics are an interesting team. They're not the same old Albert Pujols and, like, older players that we've seen succeed before, but, like, new guys like Joey Votto and Andrew McCutchen. Yeah.
No, so, first thing I want to talk about is how good do you think Michael Wacha is? Here's my opinion on him. He had a one-hitter yesterday against the Pirates in the NLDS. He had a one-hitter at the end of the season. So that makes two hits and two starts for him this year. And everyone was expecting him to be good, but everyone was expecting Shelby Miller to be better. And I relate this situation as a Mets fan to the Wheeler Harvey, because they both have played very well, but Wheeler had bigger expectations than Harvey. And in the MLB, Harvey's been much better. And I feel like that's the same thing goes for Wacha and Miller. It's going to be a great tandem, but I think that scouts might be surprised and Michael Wacha might outperform his minor league teammate and, of course, teammate on the Cardinals now, Shelby Miller.
Shelby Miller put on a very good rookie campaign, and Michael Wacha's been dominant. That pitching staff in the future is going to be unbelievable. Between them two and Carpenter and Wainwright, they've
been what's the guy's name again with the, I'm forgetting his name, Joe Kelly, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, he's very good, too.
They're going to have a very, very good pitching staff in the future to add to a pretty decent lineup.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, Matt Adams, Yadier Molina,
Carpenter,
Beltran,
Holiday.
Matt Carpenter, Matt Holiday. Yeah, very, very good lineup. And then, what do you think the ceiling is for this LA Dodgers team in the future? Personally, I don't think there is a ceiling.
Their lineup is ridiculous. You put in Yasiel Puig with Matt Kemp, two of the best players over the last 3 years. You put with Hanley Ramirez, Clayton Kershaw, Hyunjin Ryu, Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez, who was an MVP candidate a few years ago.
Andre Ethier, Zach Greinke.
They have such a great team.
And then Brian Wilson
and Magic Johnson with all the money in the world.
Yeah, this is really something. Like, Dodgers haven't been good since they had Manny. A couple, like, 3 years ago. They haven't been really good. And last year everyone was expecting to break out as soon as they got that waiver trade with the Red Sox, but it happened half a year late, and it's been outstanding. It's been so fun to watch. And a really thing that gives me nightmares at night as a baseball fan in the National League, not literally, but the fact that they're in the running to acquire the Rays ace David Price.
Their pitching staff would be one of the best of all time.
It would be Kershaw, Price, Greinke, Hyunjin Ryu, and who else?
I'm not sure, but all I know is that this Dodger rotation, just those four guys, you can get a win on most nights with those guys in that lineup.
That's ridiculous, honestly. It's pure insanity that a team would be able to put that together.
You look at the Mets rotation or the Yankees rotation, you get one or two good games from Harvey or Wheeler. You get one or two good games from Sabathia and Kuroda and maybe Pettit now that he's retired, but you don't get that from many teams.
No, like, you don't. People have been fantasizing about it with the Mets in the future with Syndergaard, Montero, Harvey Wheeler, and then Neeson G as well. It's a possibility, but they're not as proven as these guys are. And as of now, that possible rotation for the Dodgers is the best I've ever heard. Also, by the way, have Ricky Nolasco at the tail end.
Yes. Ricky Nolasco, that's not a bad player right there.
Amazing player, actually. I mean, not amazing, I wouldn't say that, but that's a large stretch. But he was an ace for the Marlins this year.
He's a great fifth pitcher.
Yeah, great. He's a pretty good third pitcher.
Yeah.
And then they have Brandon Lee, Brian Wilson in the bullpen, Kenley Jansen, Carlos Marmol, Ronald Belisario. That's just an outrageous team right there.
Pure
Even without the addition
domination.
of Price. And now, how promising do you think Gerrit Cole and Starling Marte for a young and talented Pirates team? How promising do you think they are?
That team is, they have such a bright future, along with the Dodgers and the Cardinals. These three teams, they have so much potential. Gerrit Cole is another ace. He's been really, really good. Although, and he's pretty much taking the role that AJ Burnett filled for most of the season.
No, absolutely, he has. And AJ Burnett's still really good, and they witnessed the reemergence of Francisco Liriano there.
Yes.
They have McCutchen, Starling Marte, Pedro
Starling Marte
Alvarez.
is very, very good too.
Really good. They have Pedro Alvarez,
Russell Martin, who hits home runs.
Russell Martin. They have Marlon Byrd's been excellent for them since acquiring him from the Mets.
Marlon Byrd, John Buck gives you the occasional power.
They have Justin Morneau as the leadership aspect, the former MVP. And then they have Neil Walker. That's just great. And then we also forgot to mention Jeff Locke.
Yes, he's been very, very good. He's a very nice guy as well.
Yeah. And Mark Melancon and Jason Grilli. Really? Wow. I
They
mean,
just have a very good overall team, like the
it's
Dodgers.
their weakest position is probably a shortstop. Jody Mercer's their starter.
I'd take him.
Yeah, I take him too, and that's their weakest position. That's a pretty good position to be in. Definitely. And I wouldn't if I were Clint Hurdle, I wouldn't trade that job for anything in the world. Except for, of course, Don Mattingly's job, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Last, speaking of managers, where do you think Joe Girardi will sign?
I think he'll end up with the Cubs. He's been there before. He's been in the organization, and it just seems as if they're gonna offer him a lot of money because they need a bright future, and the fans in Wrigley, they need something, some sort of hope. They got Anthony Rizzo, but he's all right, and Joe Girardi will just provide that hope. He's been a very decent manager for the Yankees over the last four
Really
seasons,
has.
last few seasons, winning a World Series in 2009. And I don't think the Yankees will offer him enough money.
I
And
don't
I
think so
think
either.
if I'm
They've been known to
Girardi,
cheap out on managers, thinking that they don't need a manager because they have such a good team. But that philosophy isn't gonna cut it this next year, honestly.
yes,
They're gonna
but the
have to go out and
team in the
sign someone
future
else.
is
What?
yikes. The Yankees in the future are not in good shape.
No, they're not. So if they're gonna continue with that philosophy as we don't need you, Billy Martin, we don't need you, Joe Torre, we don't need you, Joe Girardi, etc., because our overall roster's so good, it's really not gonna cut it anymore. So they either need to wise up with Girardi and give him a good offer, or they need to go out and sign somebody good, because it's a rough team over there. No, I absolutely agree that he's gonna go to the Cubs for a lot of reasons. Well, he coached there originally. And he's just very comfortable with the city of Chicago, and he thinks the Yankees, in my eyes, I think Joe Girardi thinks that the Yankees' reign is over. And although the Cubs have been awful, they may have a brighter future than the Yankees at this moment. So I think he might want to go there for that reason. And also, he has a relationship with Theo Epstein from the multiple times that the Red Sox and Yankees played, and they went after him after he won the Coach of the Year, in Florida. So I think he's very comfortable with Theo Epstein and that he might go there. We have a poll up on our blog about if he will go or not, so you guys can go check that out, vote on it. It's a really interesting poll. The results will shock you.
Yeah, so where do you, who do you think is going to win the World Series, and who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's gonna be Dodgers versus the Red Sox or the Moneyball men, the A's.
I would go with the Pirates versus the Red Sox. The Pirates are just an extraordinary team. They don't have as much leadership, but they have a lot of star power in McCutchen, and the heart that that city's had for so many years of losing and losing and losing, and they're finally made their way back. I really want them to make it.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely they're a great possibility, but I just think Dodgers are too good right now.
Yeah, the Dodgers are insane.
They really are. So unless Puig or one of them gets hurt, or Starling Marte goes on like a run, or McCutcheon or one of them, Marlon Byrd goes on a huge run, I can't see anyone beating the Dodgers. But then you have the Red Sox and the A's. Those are who I think are going to make it on the AL side, one of them. Probably the Sox, just because I think John Farrell's such a good manager. And that's where the A's lack with Bob Melvin. But you can never really tell with Billy Beane's teams, you know?
Yeah.
And then Dodgers, Red Sox, I think Red Sox would win. But A's, Dodgers, I think Dodgers would win. Maybe.
Yeah, I would take the Red Sox versus the Pirates. The Red Sox are really good as well. With Pedroia.
And they have great leadership. Their team is all built on leadership, honestly.
Yes.
It's an extraordinary, it's so, they're so fun to watch also.
Yeah, and I love Big Poppy.
Yeah.
He's just the heart and soul of that team.
He really is. What he, I know he, it was not, correct to say, like, after the, Boston Marathon bombing, he, got so pumped up and so angry and, like, excited for the city because he wanted them to, like, beat the challenge, that he, used a curse word on national television, which, I don't know, they, the media portrayed it as a bad thing, but I think it just showed how much heart and soul he had and how much he loves the city of Boston.
Yeah, he's a real leader and pretty much an icon of anyone who lives in Boston and roots for the Boston teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we got to talk about hockey. The NHL season is starting up right now. So how far do you think the Islanders can go with Nabokov as the starting goalie?
I don't think they can go very far as in the postseason. They have a nice little convincing club with Tavares and Okposo, but I don't think Nabokov's a great goalie. I mean, he was good all year last year until the postseason, but that's when you need to be clutch. Like, Tony Romo, he isn't clutch. He's not going to cut it in Dallas.
Exactly.
Nabokov cannot cut it in New York, especially with this market.
I absolutely agree with you. Even though they have the great players in Tavares, Molson, Kyle Okposo, all those guys, I just don't know if they can overcome that huge void. It's like, you have a great lineup. If you don't have a pitching staff, you can't make it far. Same thing, you have a great wide receivers. You can't do anything without a good quarterback. It's the same thing, same philosophy in every single sport. And I just think that's going to hold the Islanders back until they find someone new. They had a good opportunity with Tim Thomas, but he didn't want to stay. So he never even played a game in their uniform, but he just wanted out. If he signed, it could have been a whole different story.
Yeah, I think they'd have real potential at coming close to the cup.
Yeah, definitely. And then, do you think PK Subban's emergence is a good sign for a more diverse NHL?
Totally. I mean, they're labeling him as, like, he's really good. He's very marketable. Like, obviously, African-Americans are making huge statements in the world. Of course, Obama is our president. And there's just so much diversity now, and especially in every sport, including baseball, basketball, football. Why can't it be in hockey? Yeah, PK Subban's a really good player. And
you're definitely right, but I don't think he's the first sign of this change. Jerome McGinley's been great for years in the NHL, and he's also African-American. And then Seth Davis was just drafted. What was he drafted again?
I know he was in the top 15 picks in the NHL draft. He's supposed to be a real superstar.
Yeah, he's going to be great. Popeye Jones' son.
Yes.
I don't think PK Subban is the only sign, but I think that is definitely a good sign, no less.
He's not the only guy there, but he almost won the NHL 14 cover vote, which I think shows a sign of
he's very how popular.
People are more accepting, and some people really like having more diversity in the NHL. Some
of course.
People
who would
enjoy, like, PK Subban is an icon in Montreal.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of icons, Tyler Seguin's not a good one in Dallas right now.
How do you think he's really stupid?
He is. How do you think the Stars fans are going to react to his homophobic tweets against the city?
I think at first their fans are really not going to like him, but when he starts scoring goals like the superstar he is, after being traded there, fans are gonna lighten up. I'm sure he'll apologize to a more serious extent, and eventually he'll just find it his home. And I think that Sagan could find a really nice place in scoring goals in Dallas.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And he was excellent for that Boston Bruins team, and I just think he has so much potential here in Dallas. So, then the big question is, all across the NHL is, can and will the Chicago Blackhawks repeat?
I don't think they will.
Don't think they will, but I think it's a very big possibility. They're a great team.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, and they've had talent for many years, but I think the Los Angeles Kings are very good. I think that the Penguins
Penguins.
are very good. And Montreal has made some moves in the offseason, and I think they could be very good as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of teams that can be very good and can challenge the Chicago Blackhawks spot atop the NHL. Now on to the breaking news of today. Julio Jones, star Atlanta Falcons wide receiver, is out for the year. CJ McCollum also broke his foot, the same foot that he injured on Lehigh last season. And then the news that Robinson Cano will receive a solid offer from the Yankees. Dylan, what do you consider a solid offer?
Well, they said about 10 years, but they didn't name a price. I think a solid offer for Cano is similar to what the Mets gave Wright, because they're both franchise players, but neither are on a good team where having Wright is going to be that big of a difference.
Yeah.
So somewhere in that like 10-year range, like mid hundred millions, somewhere around there.
Yeah, the news that he wants 10 years, 300 million just baffles me. Why is he expecting this kind of money? It doesn't really make sense to me. He's a great player, obviously the best second baseman in the league right now, but people aren't spending money like that anymore, honestly. They're going after the draft more, and they're going trading for prospects and trying to sign like other great players who aren't of the same cost range, like Shin-Soo Choo for the Reds and a lot of players, Francisco Liriano for the Pirates. What do you think about this?
I think what will happen is that Cano won't get nearly as much money as he wants, because there's no team on the market that really wants to spend. The Tigers have spent a lot of money, the Dodgers aren't interested, the Angels have spent a ton of money in Josh Hamilton, and that experiment failed.
I mean, the only other team that has a whole lot of money this offseason is the Mets with Jason Bay and Johan Santana coming off their salary, but they're not going to spend that money either because they need to get an outfielder and they have Daniel Murphy at second base. I mean, Cano might just have to go back to New York and take a $150 million pay cut, honestly.
I mean, I wouldn't consider it a pay cut,
No, I mean
but
pay cut against his goal grade.
yeah, but I mean, he's a very good player, and if we can get him for that, I'd be thrilled, but not a 305 million. It's
No,
not
that's
worth it.
outrageous. David Wilson has officially been ruled out for the Thursday game against the Bears, as we spoke about earlier.
I don't think that Wilson's that big of a deal. I mean, he hasn't been good this season.
He was good for the first 5 minutes of the game Sunday. Honestly, I was expecting a big breakout game from him once he scored that touchdown.
Yeah, he looked nice on that little like 7 yard run, and I think he has a lot of potential in the future. But as of now, he's not the answer. The Giants' offensive line is
Outrageous.
awful,
Yeah, if you want to
and
read more about the Giants, you can go to our blog, read my article on about how they can fix this and grades for each unit thus far. It's a really interesting article. Rob Gronkowski is very likely to return Sunday. Do you think this is going to have a huge impact on the Patriots? Because I certainly do.
yeah, with the return of Amendola and Gronk, I think the real key to the Patriots having a very good playoff push will be Kenbrell Tompkins. With less attention on him, Tompkins can easily dominate, just like Alshon Jeffrey did, and how Kendall Wright did last season, and T.Y.
Yeah.
Hilton.
Yeah, definitely. And then no, I absolutely see that happening. Kenbrell Tompkins will be a big factor with everyone paying attention to Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman. Kenbrell Tompkins is going to be very like neglected and almost he's going to have basically no choice but to have a big game. You know? Like
Yeah.
if he doesn't have a big game with so little attention on him, it's insane.
He might just end up going back to that free agent list and end up playing in the CFL or the Arena Football League.
He might be one of those guys who has a great first couple of weeks of his career and then can't hang on in the NFL and quits, basically, or nobody wants him.
This is his big opportunity here.
It
He has
is.
Tom Brady slinging him the ball. He's shown talent, but shown some also some a lot of flaws.
He's shown a lot of flaws, a lot of them. I mean, he played awfully in Amendola's first game back this weekend. He has a lot of weaknesses, but I have a feeling that he's gonna perform well.
Yeah, his speed and strength excites me.
Yeah, same. And then what do you think about the new Pro Bowl uniforms? Honestly, I think that they look like the Oregon and Oregon State reject uniforms.
I find it quite ridiculous. Yellow and orange uniforms? Who wears yellow and orange uniforms? Unless that's their actual team colors. Blue and red, that represents America, and it makes total sense.
No,
But
you're right. I think that
yellow and orange, it's not like anyone watches the Pro Bowl anyway.
it's not going to be a big difference, but I just think it's a silly decision, as do you, of course.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And then there are going to be three London games next season in the NFL. One hosted by the Falcons, one hosted by the Jaguars, and one hosted by the Raiders. I think that Jacksonville, Oakland could be a huge thing. If they get a large crowd and a large fan base in London for those two teams, I think they might be bidding it out to see who's going to move over there or not in the next couple of years.
There'd be a lot of difficulty with moving to London. Playing in London, first of all, building a fan base is going to be hard that's loyal. Most of the fans that just go because they like football, not because they like the team. And it would also be pretty hard for them to get out of contracts, get to games, and it'd just be a pain in the ass for the players for them to go from Europe to California to Cleveland to
Yeah.
Europe. Like, it's a lot of traveling and
Here's
probably very expensive.
my bold prediction is that a team is going to decide to move there and the move is going to be canceled because like players on the team are going to refuse to do the move, or Roger Goodell is going to have something to say about it. But teams are definitely interested. I just don't know how interested the league itself and the players are.
I know other leagues have definitely talked about it, like the NBA said that. David Stern said that by about 2020, they're going to try and build a division in Europe
I mean,
with.
but that makes much more sense than the NFL in my eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, some people would say the NFL makes more sense because you have so much more time for travel, but they would just have home stands and trips on the road. But it's much less of like a physical game, whereas sleep deprivation, if you get tackled very hard by like James Harrison as an example. Those players, their careers could be over, honestly. So, or like jet lag or whatever it is. I think it's a much more plausible idea for the NBA and for other sports.
Yeah, I also think in the NBA, if they did it, there's more fans overseas from building in the past. There's like many players run events throughout the world. Like I know Brooke Lopez over the summer went to many African countries, some Asian, like people travel in the off season to other countries, and fans really give them a very good homecoming.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been our first 360 Sports Blog podcast. I'm Sammy.
I'm Dylan.
Have a great day.